we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Oh, good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in. And unfortunately, according to people, yesterday was the official end of summer. I know summer continues until like the third week of September, but, you know, the unofficial end was Labor Day weekend. You know, if you remember the old rules of fashion, that means you can no longer wear white after Labor Day. But you're in Florida. Their rules are different in Florida. So anyway, I know you're probably back to work and things like that, but be of good cheer. Christmas and Thanksgiving are just around the corner, or Thanksgiving and Christmas. And so now we have something to look forward to in the days ahead. Many companies are there. This is the month that their fiscal year ends. It's the month that the federal government's fiscal year ends. And so there's lots of activity, lots of things to do. And so it's a good time to fix our eyes on Jesus and keep our nose to the grindstone, so to speak, and keep on moving ahead with our developing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So I've got my notes here from yesterday's broadcast. One of the things that you won't find, the reason I've got yesterday's notes here is I have several days' notes on the same piece of paper. But one of the things that I was reflecting on after the end of yesterday's broadcast was how many times through the years people have made this statement, "Well, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray." And I just want to give you a word of encouragement today. And that is this: you don't have to use big, impressive, flowery words when you're praying to God. Having a communication with God, praying to Him, is quite simply the same as having a conversation with anybody else. You certainly don't have to pray in King James language with these and thous and wherefores and therefores and whereases and all of that sort of stuff. God's not impressed by that. What He's looking for is your heart. And so if you missed yesterday's program, you might want to go back and look at that as we were going through the Sermon on the Mount, and we're in Ephesians chapter 5, and yesterday we were talking about let your yes be yes and your no by no be no. One thing I didn't get to is that whatever is more than this or more than these is from the evil one. We certainly don't want to give the devil a rent-free use of our mouth. We already have a big enough problem with that. We need to make sure that we are people who are taming our tongue with the help of the Lord, and that the words that we speak are words of life, they're words of healing, they're words of grace, they're words of truth, they're words of that are credible. And so with that in mind, many people want to say, well, I just don't want to commit to anything there. That's immaturity. That's not maturity. Not committing is not really one of the options. You and I, we are supposed to be people of commitment and people who treasure our reputation and say, when we say we're going to do something, we're going to do it. One more story. I had a person years ago that was moving out of the area, and at their departing celebration, there was a person that got up and said that they'd pretty much been surrounded by people their entire life that never followed through on the things that they said. But when they encountered this person, he said he was going to do something, and they just assumed that he was speaking hyperbolically, just like everybody else, that he really didn't mean what he said. And so they continued to press the envelope and just dismissed the things that he said were the consequences for disobedience. And they found out that his yes meant yes and his no meant no. And he came through. And, you know, they said, "I always respected you because your yes meant yes and your no meant no. When you said you were going to do something, you did it." So anyway, that's just a few follow-up thoughts from yesterday's program. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 38. "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away." We're going to stop the reading there today and deal with this to the best of our ability. If we get to move on into the next subject matter, we will. Verse number 38, Jesus, again, this is like the third or the fourth different time that he has elevated the understanding of the people and what God expects of them in this Sermon on the Mount. Okay? And so he said, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." Okay? And that, in actuality, is a reference back into the Old Testament where that was what was commanded. If there was a person who was in a struggle with somebody else, they lost an eye, then the punishment for the person was they lost an eye. It's Exodus 21:24, Leviticus 24:20, and Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse number 21. You can see that those principles are in place there. So if somebody did something to you, then it was a lifestyle of revenge. And so it tended to be this continuing escalating battle, and the price got higher and higher and higher. And so if there was death, there was death. If there was blindness, there was blindness. If you lost a hand, you lost a hand. There was always this escalation there. There was there are billions of people on planet Earth right now who still live by this rule. And Jesus is going to come, and he's going to give us a better way to live. Bitterness and vengeance is one of those things that it will eat away at your relationship with God. It will disqualify you from ministry because you're always looking to get even. You know, the scale of justice, the old fulcrum, where it's pivoting there, and there's a scale on one side and a scale on the other, and whatever happens on this scale has got to be balanced out. Many people in marriages will keep score, and well, you know, that person did this, and so now I've got to do this to repay them for what they did there. It's a horrible, horrible way to live. You were never meant to live as a divine CPA, keeping track of what everybody else has done to you. The scripture says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." I used to joke. It was a joke. It was a lighthearted way of making a point. And Maya says, well, in the Bob Arthur's paraphrase version, it says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and I'm his messenger. And that's, you know, that's the way a lot of people live. And so they, there was just a headline here, within the past few months about a person whose mother died during an operation, and ever since that point in time, that person lived with the concept of getting even with the surgeon who he blamed for his mother's death. And so he killed the surgeon, and then he ended up killing himself. It's a horrible way to live. Don't let the enemy victimize you forever. Because that's what that unforgiveness, that's what that bitterness and that vengeance is all about. It's the devil's attempt to take that horrible experience that happened to you in the first place and victimize you with it for the rest of your life into forever. God's got a better way. He says, but I tell you not to resist an evil person. And so this is not a license here to put up with abuse. That's not what is being talked about here. It is developing an attitude towards the person who is damaging, bullying, intimidating, terrorizing other people. It is developing a mindset towards that person that says, I want to pray for them so that they no longer live as an evil person. This amazing God that we serve, filled with amazing grace, is able to transform evil people into saints of the Most High God. It's possible. And I have seen God work in these situations where you say, I'm not looking for vengeance. I'm looking to forgive them. And I'm looking for God to captivate that person with his grace. It happens. It still happens. It happened for me here not too long ago. So let me go on. It says, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. I've shared this story a bunch, and it is the best example that I know for how to live this situation. Right now, everybody is trying to, well, the reality is people are becoming more and more isolated. Social media is actually relationships with people through antisocial means. There are people who've made their homes into these sanctuaries, if you will, to where you don't. Do you realize that you don't even have to go out of your house to buy groceries anymore? You can buy clothes. You can have the mailman knock on your door and you can pick them up. There are people who can work at home that they don't have to interact with anybody. Everything is brought right into the comfort of their homes. And you and I, we're supposed to have relationships with people. So, dear friend of mine, for well over 20 years now, and I celebrate the amazing work that God has done in his life and the blessings that he is, but I know this man's heart. He is a precious saint in God. He's extremely talented, extremely smart, extremely hardworking, and loves people and wants to see people come to know Jesus. And he was a mechanic. He's still a mechanic. And he was over one day and he was helping me with a project that I just didn't have the tools. I didn't have the strength to be able to get this off. I was working on something with my exhaust system on a car that I had. and things were all rusted, and I was afraid I was going to break the nut and the bolt and all that sort of stuff, and then I was going to have problems. He came over with an air compressor and some pneumatic tools, and blam, he got the problem taken care of in just a short period of time. So now we're just standing out there talking. It's in the cool of an evening. The sun is going down, and the mosquitoes are coming out. And unbeknownst to me, a mosquito landed on my face. And without saying a word, we're just having a conversation. We're not fussing. We're not fighting or anything like that. He just reaches up and he slaps me on the right cheek. It wasn't the hardest that I've ever been hit. It wasn't the lightest, but it was hard enough to kill a mosquito. And that mosquito wasn't stunned. It was killed. And I just stood there. I didn't have any reaction to him whatsoever. But all of a sudden, his eyes got real big, and all he did was hold up his hand to show me the mosquito carcass that was now embedded on his hand. And I said, "Brother, I trust you. If I needed to be slapped in the face, there was a reason I needed to be slapped in the face. I trust you." But there are many people who would have, if they didn't know what was going on, they got slapped in the face and blam, they would slap the other person in the face. And that person didn't have a mosquito. You just didn't know what was going on. What you thought was a wound was actually somebody coming to your defense. The Bible talks about faithful are the wounds of a friend. And so let's look at this responsibility. He says, if someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. Now, there was an evangelist I heard years ago, and he said, if you slap me on the cheek, I'm going to turn the other cheek. He said, but if you slap me on the other cheek, I'm out of cheeks. and I'll never forget him sharing that. The lifestyle of the righteous is supposed to be about ministering to people who need Jesus and live their life as if they need Jesus. So it goes on and it says, if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. I want to try and live my life in such a way that I don't end up in courtrooms more than necessary. Legal expenses are crazy expensive. It is one of the ways that people get ruined financially. And I will tell you this, from a lawyer that has been a blessing to churches throughout Brevard County, he said this: don't ever cross the threshold into a courtroom without an attorney, because that's a more expensive proposition than the dollars and the cents that it'll cost you out. He said, it's a completely different world. It's a different culture. You need to know someone who understands that culture. And so I make it my goal to stay off the 6 o'clock news for all of the wrong reasons. I don't mind being on the news for the right reasons. Like a year ago when we were distributing hurricane supplies, we made it on to Channel 9 news because of that. Somehow they got word of it. I don't know how they heard about it, because I didn't publicize it. I did let some people know in the area, pastors and things like that. And evidently they monitored that feed somehow, and they got in touch with me. I don't want to be the type of person that is being an offense to my neighbor that is going to cost me everything that I own. He's talking about here, and he says, and whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. This was something that Roman centurion or Roman soldiers could do, is that because they were the governmental representatives in an occupied land, that if they were on a journey, They could just simply tap a person on the shoulder and say, you're going to do this for a mile. That's why Simeon, I believe his name is, I'm having a little bit of a brain recollection there, on the road to Jesus being crucified, was conscripted to carry the cross of Jesus. And let me see if I can find that real quick. Simon, not Simeon. Now, as they came out, Matthew 27:32. Now, as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. There was no legal recourse. If the soldier said, "You're carrying my stuff for a mile," you were carrying it for a mile. It didn't matter if you were in a hurry someplace else. You were by law required to set aside your agenda for this soldier's agenda and carry that gear for a mile. And Jesus said, as you're doing that, don't be doing it with anger or hostility or bitterness or resentment. Don't be doing it with the wrong attitude. They get that attitude every day. But instead, live your life in such a way that you say, you know what? I'll go with you another mile. I'll go with you another mile. And you know what? The soldiers weren't used to that mindset. They weren't used to people going above and beyond the call of duty. Many people like to live with as little commitment as possible. Jesus encourages us to use our lifestyle as a ministry to those who need Jesus. He goes on and he says, give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. So here we are not living our life getting even with other people. We are living our life being generous and blessing other people. This concept of give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. This is not mean that we are supposed to live our life enabling con artists. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking, and by the way, it's not a substitute for your tithe The tithe is holy. It belongs to God. And so you and I, we are privileged to be able to participate with him in honoring him with that which is his, the very first 10%. So I have no problem with that. I want to honor God with my finances, because I want God anointed finances in my life. I don't want the devourer to have any access into my life. I want to honor God with those areas. And so that offering belongs to God. It is holy. It is that offering. It is that above and beyond that is being talked about here. This is ministry to a person that you know who has a legitimate need. You don't live your life in such a way that a person who has a legitimate need and is doing the best that they can continues to suffer when it's in your ability to be able to do something about it. So at Merit Assembly of God, we've had enough. I mean, you need to pray for your pastor, their executive pastor, their office manager, especially if it's a smaller church, bigger churches as well, because there are constantly people that are coming and asking for things. And the first thing that I ask is, where do you go to church? And you would be amazed the number of people who do not go to church. And yet whenever they have a time of need, they remember that the church is there. So this is what we've prayed about. This is what we have adopted as our policy at Merit Assembly of God. And that's this. If there is somebody in the church that has a legitimate need, you know, they've had an emergency in their life, we will do what we can to absolutely help them. And so we do that. And it's not always convenient. Most of the time, it is when all other options have been exhausted, and now it's a crisis, and it's at the very last minute, and that stuff's not always convenient. So you've got to say, you know what, we're going to adopt a heart of love, and we're gonna do this. And you know, sometimes people are grateful, and sometimes they're not. Okay. The second part of our policy is this, that if there's a person in the church that knows a person who has a legitimate need. Now, remember, we're a small church. We do not have inexhaustible resources. So this is how we've had to operate with wisdom. If there's a person and they, you know, if their house burned down, well, you know what? We're not going to say, well, you know, I'm sorry about that. There's not anything that we're going to be able to do for you. We're going to minister to that person because we know it's a legitimate need. And so the people that we don't feel compelled to help financially are those who just happen to cold call at the door, normally on Monday morning because they know church was at Sunday. We don't feel compelled to help people that show up, who don't want to take care of their spiritual needs. We've actually had people show up during service time and say, can you help me? And I said, you know, I'm getting ready to preach a message right here. I'm going to have to get back with you after church. And they said, okay, well, I'll come back. You know, it's like, you do realize your spiritual need is bigger than your financial need. And so there's some things that we've had to adopt, but we need to have this mindset. We're not looking to get even with people. We are looking to empower people. We are looking to be a generous giver because God is a generous giver as well. So when we describe our missions program, we have a local mission part of our budget. We have a national, we have an international, but we want to represent God well by ministering to hurting people as best as we can. I pray that you'll do the same. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.